This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذي فرض عليك القرآن لرادك إلى معاد، قل ربي أعلم من جاء بالهدى ومن هو في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. So it is basic elementary knowledge regarding tafsir that a chapter that was revealed prior to migration is referred to a Makki chapter, and a chapter in a surah that was revealed post-migration is referred to a Madani surah. And at the inception of Surah Qasas, we spoke about the fact that this is a Makki chapter. It was revealed prior to migration. But then you have the likes of this verse, which I've just recited before you, verse 85 out of the 88 verses of chapter 28, and a very emotional reflection in the backdrop of this ayah. So recorded by Durr al-Manthur on the strength of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was compelled to leave his native land Makkah Mukarramah, and you can imagine how emotional it was because of the attachment to Makkah Mukarramah, and separating from someone near and dear and a place that is so close to you is always emotional. I mean, it's always challenging to see that farewell moments of Ramadan. Why? Because that buzz, that atmosphere in the masjid that you see, the masjids are buzzing. It's just buzzing. It's so electrified. You enter the masjid early morning, there are people reciting Quran. You get into the masjid, in the afternoon, people are in Quran. In the late hours of the night, and especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, it's just amazing. Allah has allowed me to travel throughout Ramadan for the last 15, 20 odd years. And I can assure you, my brother and my sister, Ramadan just has its unique flavor for Muslims across the globe. You are in airports, you're in hotels, you're flying. It's just that Ramadan atmosphere with a believer in places where you might think would not have a Ramadan flavor, but it's just so amazing. The warmness of a believer, or at the time of iftar, opening your fast in a flight might have its challenges, but I can tell you it has its own beauty as well. You're sitting in that flight, you're opening that shutter, you're peeping out and seeing when the sun is tipping down. And as the sun tips down and you can see it on the western horizon, and you raise your hands and you call out to your Creator and you tear, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبَتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. The thirst is gone, the veins are drenched, and the reward is hopefully secured. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Makkah Mukarramah. He was compelled to do so because the disbelievers had expelled him, ostracized him, and banished him. And because the intelligence of the disbelievers were out to apprehend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he took the unconventional route with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But at some point, the unconventional route overlapped with the regular and the conventional route. And this was at a place called Juhfa, close to Rabigh. And when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam observed that road, it just evoked the nostalgia of Makkah Mukarramah. Those couplets of Sayyidina Bilal, أَلَا هَلْ أَبِيتَنَّ لَيْلَةً بِوَادٍ وَحَوْلِي إِذْخِرٌ وَجَلِيلٌ وَهَلْ أَرِدًا يَوْمًا مِيَاهَ مَجِنَّ وَهَلْ يَبْدُونَ لِي شَامَةٌ وَطَفِيلٌ. How I wish I can one day open up my eyes again in the valleys of Makkah, around the mountains of Makkah, smelling the atmosphere of Makkah, feeling the grass and the shrubs of Makkah, and drinking from the water of Makkah and its valleys. And of course, that day came. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed gaze fell on the road going back to Makkah Mukarramah. It just evoked a memory. And Jibreel came down with the revelation of this verse. And this was not prior to revelation, not after revelation, but amidst revelation. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ. Verily the Allah who revealed the Quran upon you. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ, who's made the Quran obligatory, meaning its recitation and conveying its message, etc. لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ, will surely return you to your place of return, which by the consensus of the experts on the exegesis of the Quran, scholars of tafsir, is Makkah Mukarrama. So there was a hint to the victory of Makkah. Then the adoption of the expression Farada alayka al-Quran, who's made the Quran obligatory, conveys the message, and this is mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran, that the practicing of this Quran will be the secret to the victory of the Muslims. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam practiced upon it to the greatest level. If you and I practice upon it, Allah has made it obligatory, then that is our victory. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Allah will return you to Makkah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I have a flash here because I deal with these social cases. There are so many men and women out there who are crying for their children. The marriage has ended, the union has been dissolved, and unfortunately one parent has denied the other parent access to their child. And parents are crying for years. Remember, if you are withholding your child, you are in perpetual exploitation. If you are abusing that child and denying that parent access to his or her children, this is a major crime. This is a major crime. And I say to you, my brother and my sister, as Allah said to his Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he will return him to Makkah Mukarrama, Allah will return your child to you. Your child will come looking for you. Don't poison the mind of that child against the parent. Of course, if there is abuse from that parent, it's a separate thing altogether, where the safety of that child is threatened. But we are not talking of such cases. We are talking where a person is malicious, obnoxious, and nasty, and spiteful to his or her former spouse, and denies him or her access to the children. My message to you is persevere. Allah will return your child to you. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. Say unto them, my Allah knows who brought guidance. وَمَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, and who is in manifest error and deviation. Meaning, Allah knows I brought guidance and you are astray. But you deny that. You say I'm astray and you claim you are on truth. Well, we leave it to Allah. Time will prove. قُلْ كُلٌّ مُتَرَبِّسٌ فَتَرَبَّسُوا. Everybody is waiting. Join the queue and wait. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ السَّوِيِّ وَمَنْ اِهْتَدَىٰ. Some can talk in this world. Some are eloquent. Some are articulate. So you can convince people. You can mobilize people. You can write. You can get a response. You can post on social media. On the other hand, your victim might not have that muscle and resources. It's fine. Allah knows the truth. And the truth will prevail and it will come down, and the innocent will be exonerated. The innocent will be exonerated. Verse 85, قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَمَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Verse 86, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوْ أَنْ يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were not hopeful or anticipating or assuming that the Quran would be revealed to you. It was unknown to you. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا. So prior to the revelation and prior to you being crowned with prophethood, it was unknown to you. إلا رحمة من ربك. But this is the sheer mercy of Allah upon you, that He has selected you for this noble mission, and He has made you the noblest of His creation. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So do not be an accomplice to the disbelievers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was never an accomplice, and the meaning is, do not be just as you never were. You never were an accomplice. And actually, this is a hint to the disbelievers, because they were trying to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, i'ti bi Qur'anin ghayri hadha aw badilhu. Okay, change the Quran slightly, tweak it, adjust it. Okay, let's do this here. One week we worship your Lord, 1 week you worship us. Qul ya ayyuhal, you worship our gods. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun, wa la antum 'abiduna ma a'bud, wa la ana 'abidun ma 'abadtum. Say unto them, I cannot worship what you worship. In what you're doing is completely wrong. How can we have a compromise in that? I'm inviting you to the truth. You are inviting me towards evil. So they were trying to you know, using their luck to invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But of course, that was impossible because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the concluding portion of verse 86, فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Do not be an accomplice to the disbelievers, was actually to tell them, back off. My Nabi will never support your mission. And Hakim al-Ummah gives the analogy that sometimes, for example, let's use it in a family context. There are two children. One child is being obedient to the parent and the other one is rebelling. Now the rebelling one is trying to negatively influence his brother. Don't listen to mom. Don't listen to dad. They like this. These parents don't like us. They don't do. So what does the mom do? She doesn't engage that one because he's just, you know, obstinate and arrogant. She talks to her dear son, her obedient son. My boy, don't be like your brother. You listen, you obey. Because if you obey, Allah's rahmah will come on you. So these disbelievers were earning the wrath of Allah and they were disliked by Allah. So Allah didn't speak to them. Allah spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ignore them. Don't listen to them. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ ظَهِيرًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. And then verse 87, وَلَا يَصُدُّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أُنزِلَتْ إِلَيْكَ. And let them not bar you. Let them not block you from the verses of Allah after it has been revealed to you. So they wouldn't want you to propagate it. They wouldn't want you to advocate it. They wouldn't want you to execute it. But don't let them block you, just as till today you've never allowed them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, unwavering, relentless. No amount of hardships could come in the way to block the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no amount of material temptation. In kunta innama turidu bima ji'ta min hadha al-amri malan jama'na laka min amwalina hatta takuna aghna quraish mala wa in kunta turidu bihi mulkan mallaknak. إن كان إنما بك الباءة فاختر أي نساء قريش شئت فلنزوجك عشرة. So they came and they said, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want prominence, we'll make you our leader. حتى لا نقطع أمرا دونك. You'll make the final decision. You want wealth, we'll gather our wealth and give it to you till you become the wealthiest amongst us. You want woman, we'll select the most beautiful woman and present it to you. فاختر أي نساء قريش شئت فلنزوجك عشرة. We will wed you to 10. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not tempted in any way. Was not tempted in any way. So verse 87, وَلَا يَصُدُّنَّكَ عَنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And that makes us understand, the message is for us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asum. He was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. That when people come and divert you and block you and negatively, you know, want to influence you and take you away from the truth, either some would come by dangling a candy or some would come with certain threats. Do not buckle under the threat and do not buy into the temptation. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And do not be from amongst the polytheists. The Prophet ﷺ was never from amongst them and he would never be from amongst them. Again, it's a message to them. My Nabi is never going to listen to you. And the concluding verse of chapter 28, verse 88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. And do not ascribe and do not worship with Allah any other god or deity. Again, that message is to me and you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam established tawheed and he came and conveyed the message of pure tawheed, but it is to tell us, وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. And again, a hint to these people who were trying to call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to change his deen, because they could not tolerate when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke ill about their gods. And Allah addressed the reality. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. When Allah's name was spoken about, then they would go into rage And when you speak about others, then they would be ecstatic. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمُنْكَرِ. When our verses were recited before them, you would just see that symptoms of disapproval manifesting on their faces. يَكَادُونَ يَسْطُونَ بِالَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا. Almost on the verge of wanting to assault those who recite the verses. So Allah is telling them, my Nabi will never listen to you, my Nabi, and this deen of Islam will prosper and flourish. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Even if the disbelievers dislike it, or even if the disbelievers don't want it, this is the declaration of the Quran. Verse 88, as we conclude this chapter, وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. Do not call unto any deity or God with Allah. وَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is no Lord, no God, no power, no sovereignty, no ilah but Allah, one Allah alone. La ilaha illa hu. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Everything will perish. Illa but wajhahu. Literal verbatim translation, his face. Meaning the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not literally the face. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا. Sometimes you walk in the city center, or you're in an airport and it's buzzing and people are coming and flights are landing and so much is happening, and my mind runs a lot on this here. You're at the boarding gate, right? There are two flights that are going in opposite direction, but the boarding gates are next to each other. Two people can be buried in the same cemetery, but one going to paradise, one going to hell. They went in the same hearse, but their abodes are different. The flight takes off in the same direction and then it moves differently. So don't be deceived by the outer thing. Internally, it's completely separate. You see, if you stand by this gate or that gate, what's the difference? No, this flight is going in that direction, and that's going to Africa, that's going to Asia. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ halik. Everything and everyone will perish. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام إلا وجه but the countenance of Allah. And some scholars say كل شيء هالك إلا وجه. Everything will be destroyed but that which is done exclusively for Allah. That is one interpretation. So in other words, the action that you perform with pure ikhlas, this is what will remain. And I just have a flash. Some time back when I was on a flight between Dubai and Toronto, and it was a long haul, and I'm sitting, and on the Arabic entertainment, they had, of course, the Quran on the flight, and they had some du'as, etc. And they had the book of Imam Ghazali, Ayyuhal Walad. And so I opened the shutter, it's 7 hours into the flight, reclining on my seat, and I just went onto this Arabic audio in audio form, this book of Imam Ghazali, in which he advised his disciple. And Allah is my witness, I had my headphones on and I'm listening to it and I'm tearing. I'm looking out. You are, 40,000 feet above sea level. You are cruising at some altitude and crossing over some continent. It's 1,000 years ago. Ghazali had given this advice to one of his students personally, privately, one-on-one. When he had graduated, he said, now that you're going back, this is some real practical advices of life. And I said, what was the ikhlas of Ghazali? That if someone told him a time will come, this advice which you conveyed to this student of yours would literally be transmitted in an audio form and would be heard above the clouds. It would be too difficult to imagine. But this is where his sincerity took him. إِذَا جَلَسْتَ لِلنَّاسِ فَكُنْ وَاعِظًا لِنَفْسِكَ وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ إِجْتِمَاعُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُرَاقِبُونَ ظَاهِرَكَ وَاللَّهُ رَقِيبٌ عَلَى بَاطِنِكَ. Something that always gives me a shiver whenever I make a public address. And I ask Allah to forgive me and I ask you to pray for me. I often say to my congregation and my audiences, I envy you more than myself. Because really, do people attend a lecture, a religious lecture, for the wrong reason? And really, do religious lecturers speak for the right reason? I'm not casting aspersions on others, But I am challenging my own intention. May Allah save me and guide me. When you're delivering a talk, when you're conducting, the devil could feast on your mind. Show your ability, show your charisma, show your skill. Impress that one. Get the likes, get the retweets, get the acknowledgements. Remember, كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. Everything will perish. But that which is done exclusively for Allah, له الحكم, all matters rest with Him. Command belongs to Him. Power is His. Decision is His. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And ultimately, we all will return to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all our humble, meager efforts. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this tafsir of this chapter of the Quran from myself, from the, you know, those who assisted me in the production of the series. And you, the brother, the sister, the listener, the viewer, I ask you to pray for me and I pray from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our humble attempts of goodness. May He overlook our shortcomings and may He keep us connected in the Quran. I leave you with the words of Mufti Shafi'a rahimahullah. The aim is never to end the Quran, but the aim is to end your life in the service of the Quran.